An outpouring of support for the former St. Augustine football coach abruptly fired. What he claims is the real reason he was let go. Then, images of the Israel-Hamas war are difficult enough for adults to see, let alone children. New at 7, an expert's answers on how to protect them from the violent images circulating on social media.
Keep your jackets on this week, where temperatures fall, and when you'll need your umbrella this week.
Today, fired St. Augustine's head football coach Howard Fagans blasted the school for a lack of support after his sudden dismissal last week. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. It was the first time he addressed his firing, and he didn't hold back. Fagans also outlined conditions he said should be unacceptable to parents and players. Players spoke in support of the coach.
WRL's Chelsea Donovan explains some of his claims that the university's program fell short.
Just hours before the Falcons were set to play here on Saturday, the players learned that their head coach had been fired. Howard Fagans, who signed a three-year deal in March, was abruptly fired just six games into the season, he says, for violating eligibility issues.
My letter of infraction.
More than 50 players look on as former St. Augs coach Howard Fagans holds a press conference 3 days after his abrupt termination.
I was hired in March, late March. That was a dream come true for me.
Fagans, only a few months into the program and only six games in, fired mid-season for what the university told him was multiple infractions.
For those infractions, I mistakenly missed. I will hold myself accountable.
Fagans didn't deny there were two players on the roster that he knew were ineligible to play, but thought it was cleared up with the university. The university said in a letter that Cameron Page played three snaps but was ineligible.
For this type of violation, it's very rare that you will find someone get let go.
The second infraction had to do with player Nyron Campbell Adams, who the university said played five games with a different number. But Fagans strongly disagreeing, saying that Campbell Adams only dressed for one game and sat on the sidelines, and the number he had on was a player who was no longer on the team.
He was not even on the travel roster.
Campbell Adams showed up in support.
It's silly, in my opinion, because they could have easily asked questions.
Fagans believes his constant outcries for help for his team was the real reason for his firing. Fagans said shortfalls for athletes range from a failure to pay the laundry bill for player uniforms to an inability to afford campus visits for recruits.
But I've never got a coach fired in the middle of the season, let alone day before a game.
We literally cannot catch a break.
Fagans said filing a lawsuit is not out of the question. The university had no comment today. Jody Owens, who is the defense coordinator, will now step in as the interim head coach. Chelsea Donovan, WRL News, Raleigh.
Four people were arrested in two separate incidents at Hillside High's homecoming parade. NC Central Police arrested the driver of this car that you see here, who drove the wrong way down the parade route. 23-year-old Jerry Brooks is charged with fleeing arrest, reckless driving, assault with a deadly weapon, and carrying a concealed weapon. Durham police arrested two dirt bikers who tried to join the parade and a woman with them who had outstanding felony warrants. Organizers tell WREL that they had more security than ever before, spending thousands of dollars.
We're already saying if we need more security next year, we'll get it. If we need to barricade the streets, meaning with the metal or the wooden barricades, we'll do that. We're going to do everything that we can to ensure that our children, our elderly, our participants are safe.
Organizers say this event inspires pride in the Hillside community, and they want to make sure it can continue for years to come. Fortunately, no one was hurt in either incident.
Orange County officials have identified a body found in Chapel Hill yesterday. Investigators say it was 35-year-old Skylar Brooks of Greensboro. The Orange County Sheriff says a man walking his dog discovered Brooks' body in the woods off Heron Pond Drive. Their loved ones describe Brooks as loving. Tell WRL they're still waiting for answers. Skylar's mother, Heather Brooks, spoke to WRL's Willie Danley. You'll hear from her at 10 o'clock tonight on Fox 50 and 11 on WRL. The Franklin County Sheriff's Office made another arrest in what it calls a scheme to defraud the Bunn Youth Sports League. Richard Murray is facing felony charges now because he's accused of intimidating a witness. Jamie Murray was arrested last week after deputies say he embezzled more than $4,000 from the nonprofit. Deputies say the two are brothers. WRL is working to learn more specifics on this case.
Dozens of colleges and universities in North Carolina are waiving application fees this week in a move that could save high school seniors in the state hundreds of dollars. And as WRAL's Shelley Jackson reports, it's a boost to both the students and the universities.
Athens Drive Magnet High School saw a significant increase in college applications during last year's college application week, and they hope to repeat that this year.
Our rates for college applications went up 30% last year.
Fueling that increase was a College Foundation of North Carolina program, which waived application fees to dozens of colleges and universities in the state.
Cost is still the biggest barrier that students face in going to college. So any ways we can remove some of the barriers to making college more affordable, we want to do that.
Just having somebody one-on-one.
Jasmine Pearson, dean of students at Athens, says high school seniors average 5 to 7 college applications.
We see typically application fees can be upwards of like $75, $90 per university, which if you're applying to like 4 or 5 can add up really, really quickly.
Jared Bennett is a senior at Athens Drive Magnet High School. He says he's applying for 7 schools.
It's a lot. It adds up after a while.
And the process can be nerve-wracking.
As a senior, I mean, I'm like stepping into my life, figuring out what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Now, colleges and universities opt into the program. If you want a complete list of participating schools, check out our website, WRAL.com. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
And the application period is now open for Wake County Early College, Magnet, and year-round schools. Early college application ends December 14th. The deadline for Magnet and year-round schools is January 25th. Applications are not first come, first serve. Families are notified via email in late February 2024. If you're selected, you will only be selected for one of the schools you applied to, so be sure to apply to a school or schools you want to attend.
State education officials are revising the standards for sex ed. Some LGBTQ advocates want them to be more inclusive. WRL Education Insider Emily Wackenhorst explains.
It comes as lawmakers are restricting discussions about gender identity and sexuality in schools. North Carolina law requires schools to teach that monogamous, heterosexual marriages are the safest. Some say the standards should be more inclusive of LGBTQ plus people.
So we're leaving them out of the educational sphere without arming them with the tools necessary to have responsible sex.
North Carolina schools are required to teach about all FDA-approved contraceptions or barriers to infection. And experts credit that education with helping reduce infections in teen births, along with access to those tools. Emily Wackenhorst, WRAL News, Raleigh.
You can learn more about North Carolina's standards for sex education on the education section of WRAL.com.
Starting this hour, the leaders of two major school districts are meeting to decide how to split their districts down county lines. The Nash and Edgecombe County school districts are undergoing a demerger, as it's called, by July 1st. 4 schools that are in the Edgecombe side of Rocky Mount will be handed over from the Nash district to Edgecombe schools, along with more than 1,600 students. Some families have concerns about the impact the move will have on supplies, staff, and funding for transitioning the schools.
Things got to grow. Rebuild the school. Refurnish the school. You know, that's what I would say.
WRAL is following that meeting now at the Rocky Mount Event Center, and we'll tell you about the latest plans for the demerger at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL.
I was just down the state fair earlier today, and it's very busy, especially on the road there. But I will tell you, the state fair isn't the only traffic trouble spot in the next few days. The DOT is about to start some major work in Garner. So for the next few nights, crews will close Jones Sausage Road where it passes over I-40. The bridge will close from 11 p.m. until 5 a.m., and that's tonight and tomorrow and possibly Wednesday. We'll keep you updated on that. The ramps will stay open, though, and the bridge will be open each morning, just in time for that morning commute.
Here's a live look at Dix Park on this Monday night. Dozens of buildings could be demolished as the city of Raleigh transforms the former mental health hospital campus into a destination park for families to enjoy. Right now, the state maintains the campus, which is home to the Department of Health and Human Services. The department will move out in July of 2025 and turn over the buildings to the city. A new study reveals all 88 buildings would need upgrades to meet current standards. It recommends demolishing 57 of them. The remaining buildings could be incorporated into the park.
When I look at all these buildings, I see opportunity. The opportunity to bring them back to life, in some cases, to open up new park spaces to the community, because many of these buildings are in poor shape, don't have historic value, or don't fit into what is a future park.
The demolition would clear 82 new acres of open space for the park. Raleigh City Council will discuss the recommendations for the Dix Park buildings during a work session tomorrow.
War is on the minds of many children and teenagers. All the images just about everywhere, TV, social media, you really can't avoid it. Coming up, though, we'll give you some advice from a Carey child psychologist about how to calm their fears and to find some healthy diversions. Plus, a federal agency is stepping in to help stop situations like this along our coast. What the National Park Service is doing after some North Carolina beach homes collapse into the ocean. Kat?
And it's a beautiful night at the North Carolina State Fair. Temperatures already down to 57, but boy, look at all the people. I'll let you know the one time period where you may need to bring your umbrella to the fair coming up.
Back right now in the WRL Live Center, I'm Mark Boyle. The airstrikes in Gaza continues. The tension between Israel and Hamas continues to intensify. And we talk about that humanitarian crisis. This is some new video into the Live Center here. Underneath the rubble, hundreds of bodies. They are still trying to get to those bodies, to the recovery process. Many people still trapped, they believe. So that's just one element here. On your screen, these are some of the key takeaways that we now know here at 7 o'clock. Hamas has newly released some new videos showing some of the hostages they currently have from Israel, we're being told. And they're releasing those videos slowly this evening. Secretary of State Blinken's meeting with the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, we're told, lasted more than 5 hours together with those in Mr. Netanyahu's war cabinet this evening. The numbers for those in the United States that are on standby, by the ready, about 2,000 Marines and sailors near the coast of Israel, essentially a show of support in case something were to escalate. It's essentially like a visual show, we're being told, as the numbers continue to go up. We'll send things back to you. Any updates? We'll have them here in the Live Center tonight. Back to you.
All right, Mark, thank you. Yeah, the images that we've seen, the details, tough for anybody to really wrap their heads around. In the Middle East, we know the war happening. There are other parts of the world as well. Parents do face a significant challenge with how to talk to kids about this sort of thing. Their children are seeing those images on TV and social media.
We talk about this with our kids, right? How do we protect our children from the violent images on TV and on social media? As WRL's Grace Holland reports, a Carey child psychologist offers answers.
Violent images and sounds of war are now quickly shared around the world on TV and social media devices.
I do think this time the images are just very shocking and very saddening.
Child psychologist Dr. Kristen Nguyen says it's a challenge for parents to know what their young children and adolescents see and how it affects them.
Obviously, as parents, it's a time when you might want to be more aware of how much screen time your kids are having.
Wins advises parents of young children to protect them from graphic images and specific details of violence. Be proactive and inquisitive.
Even for older kids and teens, it's still helpful to start with open-ended questions about what are they seeing, what questions do they have.
Younger children may have feelings they can't express.
So for our younger kids, we really need to reassure them that they are safe. And while this is a terrible tragedy that's happening in the world, that's far away.
She says research shows 14 minutes of watching negative news on TV or devices can correlate to depression and anxiety. Open family discussions may be valuable for your child.
It's helpful just to keep those conversations going and, again, just kind of peek at what they're looking at and suggest they shift gears, especially if you can tell they're starting to get a little overwhelmed.
Grace Holland, WREL News.
And one more piece of advice from that child psychologist, Dr. Wins. She says if parents have a child who is suddenly struggling to fall asleep at night or maybe having nightmares or even difficulty concentrating, consider seeking professional help. Moore County is working to establish a program to help veterans who have a run-in with the law. Veterans Treatment Court is already operating in 5 North Carolina counties. It's designed to help veterans with minor offenses get their lives back on track. District Court Judge Steve Bibby is spearheading the move to get the program in Moore County.
But because they were trained and they had a mindset to serve at a certain capacity in combat or whatever, they've had trouble readjusting with their families or the community they come back to.
The judge says they have just about everything in place to get the program up and running. Now they're looking to the state and federal government for funding.
The National Park Service is buying homes along the coast, the ones that are at risk for something like this happening, collapsing into the beach and into the water due to erosion. It's to avoid situations like this, which ultimately scattered debris into that entire area. The agency says this move will result in safer conditions for everybody on the beach. The government recently bought two houses in Rodanthe along the Outer Banks for a combined $700,000 with money from the Land and Water Conservation Fund. The plan now is to tear them down before they collapse. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now. Oh, man, a gorgeous look at the sun setting in Durham. I will say, I was out at the fair as it was starting to get a little darker, and as soon as that sun started going down, sharp dip in temps.
Oh, yes. You're going to need your jackets, your sweaters if you're headed to the fair tonight and for the next several nights. We've got lows in the 40s for a stretch all the way through Thursday morning. Layer up. Temperatures bottom out around 41 in Roxborough tonight, 43 in Durham and Rocky Mount, 44 in Raleigh, 41 in Southern Pines, and 44 in Clinton. It's a great night if you have a fire pit to sit outside, though. Have the fire going. Put on your favorite cozy sweater. 53 by 8 o'clock tonight, by 10 o'clock. 50 degrees, and temperatures are going to be falling into the 40s after that. We do have a lot of clouds out there tonight, so it's interesting that temperatures are able to fall like this with the cloud cover in place. Typically, that slows the fall of temperatures, but the cloud cover will clear out overnight, and we'll wake up to sunshine in the morning. The next system on the map to watch is still a long ways off. It doesn't get here until Friday into Saturday. It arrives in the form of a cold front, and as this cold front moves in from the west, showers are possible, perhaps a stray storm Friday night into Saturday morning. But one of the things we're going to be watching is as this front moves closer to us, we could see an area of low pressure try to develop a bit closer to the coast. That would bring some heavier rain to the coast, but that could also influence just how much rain we were able to see and the timing here locally. So that's one of the factors we're going to be really working out over the next couple of days. Stay tuned for updates. Just know the next 3 days look quiet and dry. Friday night would be the time frame to keep your eye on this week. Just check in for updates as we continue to fine tune the forecast. But all is well tomorrow if you're headed to the fair. 40s in the morning by 10 a.m. up to 55. Noon, 63. High temperatures tomorrow around 67 in the triangle. And I want to show you a WRAL Weather Watcher photo. This is from Graveyard Fields. Tammy Gunter took this picture and sent it to us. And I want to give a special shout out. There is a viewer that we have. She's 98 years old and she's unable to travel to the mountain. So she says she just loves to see these pictures. And when we keep her updated on fall foliage, and I mean, just look at it. It is near peak right now. Gorgeous across the mountains, especially above 4,000 feet. But we're starting to see some patchy color along the Blue Ridge Parkway, closer to that 3,500-foot range. So really looking good out west. 67 our high tomorrow. Nice fall weather here, but we warm up a little bit Wednesday and Thursday. 72 Wednesday, 73 Thursday. Crisp nights and mornings still in the forecast. And then once we get to the weekend, temperatures fall again behind the cold front. We'll be back in the 40s for lows, 60s for highs, the warmest day on the 7 day, a week from today at 74 degrees.
It's that time of year. All right, thanks, Kat.
Hey, it looks like Duke basketball has a promising season ahead. A look at the new AP preseason poll and where our local teams landed coming up. And as we head to break, we got to show you this. Here is a live image from Beaufort. I mean, it's quiet on the water here, and I know the temperatures are dipping a bit, but isn't that just a perfect night in Beaufort? We'll be right back. This is really interesting. It's really unclear why rapper Travis Scott's show in Raleigh was postponed over the weekend.
So the star did spend some time with the UNC basketball team. He looked like he was having a good time in town, right? That's the same night he was supposed to perform at PNC for his second concert. Based on the pictures posted on social media and some videos, you know, there he is in Chapel Hill enjoying himself. There's been no reason why Scott canceled the show on Saturday night. After that performance on Friday, organizers said ticket holders should keep their tickets and they'll be honored at another date. That date has not yet been announced, so I don't know.
A real mystery.
Mm-hmm. So some high hopes, as usual, for Duke basketball this year, less than a month away from the season tip-off.
The Blue Devils ranked number 2 in the AP Top 25 preseason men's basketball poll released today. This will be head coach John Shire's second season with Duke since Coach K retired. Kansas took the number 1 spot in the new poll. Carolina ranked 19th. Mm-hmm. The city of Durham scored a big win when ESPN's College Game Day came to town. We know that.
Yeah, Game Day does this. So Durham Sports Commission, they say the broadcast brought $4 million into the local economy. It resulted in nearly 10,000 nights in hotel rooms that the city might not have seen. ESPN brought the broadcast to Duke for last month's game against Notre Dame. It was a biggie. Overall, the Sports Commission said the exposure from the 3-hour broadcast was worth more than $20,000 in advertising. Nice.
I want to talk about the State Fair again. Uh-huh. You were out there all afternoon.
Yes.
How busy was it today?
It was very busy for a Monday, which you typically don't see as much on a Monday that you see like we saw. Am I making sense?
Yeah, you're totally making sense.
All right.
Absolutely.
I got there.
Well, it was pretty packed this weekend.
I was on the merry-go-round. I was going too fast. Yeah. So the rain stopped on Saturday. A lot of people didn't go because of the rain. But on Sunday, I think maybe more people showed up, 101,000 people. That's not a record, but far above the average for the first Sunday of the fair.
It's just such a huge number of people to
That's
go over one day.
I know. So tomorrow, please stop between 10:30 and 11:30. Meet Michelle McConaughey and Brian Schrader. Then look for Peta Sherwood and Gerald Owens. They'll be out there between 2 and 3 p.m.
Have a great time if you're going, and thanks for making WRAL your choice for local news.
We'll see you back here at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.